Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with my co-host, Lou Ann Crane, and our host is author and psychologist, the man I call Dad, Dr. James Dobson.
But I call him Sir. Ryan and Dr., really a pretty sober subject today because we all know that this country was founded on principles of freedom and liberty, and that is our topic for today. In fact, let me first just begin with a taste of what God's Word has to say about this. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Dr. Dobson, those are powerful words.
Well, they certainly are, and that scripture provides a wonderful framework for the freedom our founding fathers gave us in the Bill of Rights to the Constitution regarding freedom of religion. That Bill of Rights was debated by our founding fathers for months, and it became the American way of life. But something alarming has been happening to those freedoms in the 3 years of the Obama administration, which is now threatening our freedoms and challenges the foundations of religious liberty. It's not something on which we can compromise. And there has been a furor across the nation. I mean, anybody who has been listening to the news is aware that there is a huge conflict going on between especially the Catholic Church, but also evangelicals, and the Obama administration and Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, who have decreed now that the healthcare bill requires every organization, every business, every institution to provide healthcare coverage for its employees. But now they have added to that that they have to provide contraceptives and abortifacients. Now, the Catholic Church is opposed to both of those things. For the most part, evangelicals don't have a problem with contraceptives, but they do have a big problem with abortifacients, the morning after pill, which results in fertilized eggs, the first cell of life, not being able to be implanted in the uterus, and therefore it kills the baby. We consider it a baby from conception on. So it's a big problem for us as well as for those who are concerned about the distribution of contraceptives. I think, however, that there's another issue that's just as important as what I just described, and that is the government beginning to tell people of faith, and especially Christians, what policies they will accept and those they won't accept. There is a principle there that is worth taking to the streets over. And that's a phrase that Chuck Colson expressed when we had him on the broadcast. We will fight over this one. And I will be on the front row if I can.
Well, it's a slippery slope, and you want to sound the alarm now before we get any further down that road.
Yeah, well, I said that there was such a furor in the last week, but something new happened near the end of the week. I know I'm explaining things that our listeners have already heard, but the president saw that he had a fight on his hands, and he was looking for an easy way out, and so he provided what's called an accommodation or some kind of compromise.
It's the second time.
Yeah, it is.
The first accommodation was, well, you've got a year to change your views.
Yes.
Because we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
This is a new accommodation.
Yeah, they didn't say, think about it for a year and we'll talk about it again. They said it's going to happen in a year. But now he has said that, okay, to the Catholics and to others, you don't have to provide contraceptives and abortifacients to your employees, but your insurance company does. Well, guess what the insurance company is going to do? They're going to pass it on to the public. And so the issue, again, that is at stake here is whether it is right or wrong for institutions to comply with the law in this regard. And so there are those who say this is a big, big deal. I'm one of them who believes that we absolutely cannot allow this to happen. Well, I want to tell you that Family Talk for the last year has been in a struggle to find insurance coverage for our employees that did not provide reimbursement for abortions. We couldn't do that. And we fought that one to a standstill. So I'm telling you, there is a battle over religious liberty that's taking place at every point. And I'm not going to take the time to read it, but there is some powerful writing about this on the internet. One piece was posted by the Wall Street Journal called Immaculate Contraception, and that was posted on February 13th, which is 2 days ago. And I hope our listeners will look that up. Another one was posted by the University of Notre Dame, and it is entitled Unacceptable. And you've got to read this one, too, because you can see that we're in a Donnybrook. And that's what our program today is going to deal with.
Well, Dad, we'll have links to both of those at drjamesdobson.org. It's nuts when you read these pieces, because essentially the accommodation, the new one is, well, you don't have to pay for it, but you're going to pay for it anyway. Because those insurance companies are going to pass that along to the rest of the people, which means you're still paying for it.
And speaking of our Catholic friends again, the issue that caused them to dig in their heels is not money. It is the fact that it's wrong.
That's right.
From their perspective to encourage their employees to use contraceptives. Now, they're free to do it, and many people do, but that doesn't change the policy, and it's not the right of the government to start telling Catholics, evangelicals, and everybody else in the country how they're going to live their lives. This is another loss of freedom, and we've lost a lot of them, but this time it's religious freedom, which, again, Chuck Colson said, this is the basis for all other freedoms, and we can't let them be invaded.
Well, Dad, you just mentioned Chuck Colson, and he was here with us last Friday to talk about this issue.
That's right.
This topic has been burning in our hearts and minds so much that we sat down recently with three of our Catholic friends, all distinguished scholars, to discuss religious liberty in depth, and that's what we're going to hear today.
Well, Ryan, the men that were with us are truly some of the most brilliant minds in the country. That is no overstatement. Let's quickly introduce them. Although I realize these very short bios do not give them justice. Here in the studio with us was Bishop William Laurie. He is the bishop of the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. He has been a courageous voice for religious liberty in his state and across the country. He also has written an amazing pastoral letter on the topic of religious liberty, and we'll be sure to link to that from drjamesdobson.org.
And on the phone, we were joined by Professor Robert George. He's the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University. He lectures there on constitutional law, philosophy of law, and political philosophy. That makes me tired saying that.
It's impressive.
It was so great to be joined by these men. And, Dad, let's join in the discussion as you introduce our final guest.
Our third guest today is Martin Nussbaum. He is also a legal scholar from the University of Texas School of Law, and he was the national editor of the Harvard Journal of Law, and you graduated from Notre Dame University. You and I have had some discussions about that during football season.
We know you root for the wrong team.
Martin Nussbaum graduated summa cum laude from Notre Dame and is now an attorney here in Colorado Springs with Roth Gerber, Johnson & Lyons, and as such, he is my personal attorney and the attorney for Family Talk. So we're blessed today to have these great minds here with us. And I want to start by asking you, gentlemen, you heard my introductory comments about the assault on religious liberty and what the courts and the Obama administration are doing to that historic cause. And others are waging this war against people of faith. Professor George, I'm going to start with you. Comment on the way I characterize this battle. Is it accurate, and how do you see it?
Yes, Jim. Unfortunately, it is accurate. There's a massive assault on religious liberty going on in this country right now. It is coming from the left, and the Obama administration's coming to power 3 years ago placed a powerful weapon, the entire apparatus of the federal government, at the disposal of those whose agenda it is to undermine religious liberty. Now, they're not doing this simply because they dislike religious liberty. They're doing it for reasons that are deeper than that. They understand that there is no way that you can completely win the victory they want to win on the issue of abortion, on the issue of embryo-destructive research, on sanctity of human life issues generally, including assisted suicide and euthanasia, or prevail, as they wish to prevail, in redefining marriage without undermining religious liberty, because it's our religious liberty fundamentally that enables us to stand up for our values, for the sanctity of human life, for the dignity of marriage, the conjugal union of husband and wife. So, Jim, as you know, 3 years ago, we saw this coming right over the horizon. So our friend Chuck Colson and our friend Timothy George joined with us to create the Manhattan Declaration, precisely to stand up for these three values that are so intimately connected: sanctity of human life, the dignity of marriage, and religious liberty. So the only way that we're going to be able to survive here is by sticking together, by fighting hard, standing up for our own constitutional rights and the constitutional rights of our fellow citizens.
Mm. Bishop Laurie, do you see it the same way? And how do you explain the hostility to people of faith?
Well, first of all, I do see it the same way. It feels very much like a struggle, like a war, because before anything else, religious liberty is a cultural issue. It is either going to be cherished by our culture, protected by our culture, embraced by its citizens, or it's going to fade away.
Martin, politicians in the past wouldn't have dared take on the church, and probably especially the Catholic Church, in a very explicit and hostile way like that. What has changed?
Yeah. Actually, we have had attacks on the church before. There were times when various states and colonies came after the Catholic Church, and they've come after evangelical leaders as well. But what we're seeing here is, and I agree totally with what Bishop Laurie and Professor George have said, it's an attempt to cabin or silence the religious voice. And let me give you some specific examples of that so the listeners understand. There was a young African-American woman named Julia Ward studying at Central Michigan University to earn a master's degree so she could become a high school counselor. She had a couple of courses left to finish her program, a 3.91 average. And she declined, after talking to her supervisor, to provide counseling for a homosexual individual complaining of depression secondary to a breakup of that union, and referred that client to someone else who could counsel him without, you know, getting involved and being moralistic with her. She was expelled from the program.
Yeah. Mm.
She was expelled from the program. There's some things you can only do with the government's permission, like be a licensed counselor. Let me give you another example. The University of California Hastings Law School in California, the oldest law school in California, has something called a registered student organization. And if you're an RSO, you can then have access to the bulletin boards and communications and have rooms for your meetings and so on. The only student group in its entire history it found unfit to be part of the academic life of that community was the Christian Legal Society, a tiny group of about eight students who were willing to be public in their Christian faith in the life of that university. They were deemed unfit. We also see in the Catholic context, you can't place children for adoption unless you're a licensed child placement agency. And some states are now adopting regulations that say that you must place them, if you're licensed, in both same-sex and opposite-sex households. Catholic Charities refuses, consistent with its faith, to place them in same-sex households. So they've lost their license now in Boston, in the District of Columbia, in San Francisco and in Illinois. Mm-hmm. They're deemed unfit to place children.
And Martin, aren't
families.
They placing a high percentage of children into homes? I mean, this will stop placement of countless children into homes because they won't do it in same-sex households.
Correct, because the faith community, when they have licensed child placement agencies, mm-hmm. make claims upon their believers that if you believe what Jesus taught, you're going to welcome these children yeah. into your homes.
That's it's right.
So they're able to motivate people to adopt children. And to say they're unfit to do that is an assault on religious freedom to silence that voice and that practice that we must do something about.
Jim, this tells you just how passionate our adversaries are. They are willing to push their agenda to the point where it actually deprives orphan children of good homes. That's how deeply they care about advancing their agenda. And unless we are equally or more passionate to advance the cause of goodness, including the cause of placing children in good homes, they're going to win and we're going to lose. So it's really up to us. The question is, will we have the zeal and passion for the truth that they have for the agenda that they're pushing?
Is it true that Catholic Charities in Massachusetts, as related to adoption, has now ceased to exist there? Is that correct?
A Catholic Charity still exists, but they are out of
adoption.
And other places, of course, are out of foster care as well.
Boy, there's a classic example mm-hmm. of it. The welfare of children doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters is the agenda. And therefore, the Catholic community is not able to do the good work it's done for how many years?
Since we started.
More than a century. Mm-hmm.
Since we started. It's really part of our DNA to do charitable work and social work. It's not as if it's a side business we're engaging in to serve the public so as to make money. Rather, it flows from the mandate of the gospel. We receive the word of truth, the word of love. We celebrate it in our worship. And the outgrowth of that is the love and the charity we are to show to those most in need.
And then the net result of that, of course, is you pull out the charitable contribution there. It's left to the government to come in and fill that void.
Well, that's exactly right. There is a desire to have a monopoly, mm-hmm. really, on this. I think that these restrictions on religious liberty are punishing the helpers. They're punishing those who are busy in a very beautiful, faith-based way, not just in serving the welfare of the churches, but in serving the common good of society. That contribution has always been welcomed, always been part of the fabric of our American life, and now they're trying to marginalize it and to end it.
Robbie, I want to get your voice in here. What about the assault on conscience in healthcare and places where the philosophy or theology is in conflict with the government? Is that a serious threat?
Yes, Jim, it's a profound threat, and we're seeing it right now. The Obama administration's Department of Health and Human Services, led by Kathleen Sebelius, who's a very strong pro-abortionist, although she also identifies herself as a Catholic. It's a terrible shame. But in any event, the Sebelius Health and Human Services Department has issued a mandate that will require employers, including religious institutions with only the narrowest of exemptions, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but covering most religious institutions, employers to cover in health care plans for employees abortion drugs, abortifacients, and also contraceptives and surgical sterilizations. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and other men and women of faith, Catholics and non-Catholics, petitioned the Obama administration to broaden the protection, the exemption, for those who in conscience object certainly to abortion and in many cases also to contraceptives and sterilization. The Obama administration just in the past couple of weeks has issued a final statement indicating that they will not yield, mm-hmm. they will not give any accommodation to conscience Religious employers, institutions that are religiously affiliated will have a year to figure out how, in the words of Archbishop Timothy Dolan, who's a critic of that policy, to compromise their own consciences. And then we're going to have a showdown. Yeah. Because many, many Catholic and non-Catholic religious institutions simply will not purchase immoral things like abortion drugs for their employees or anyone else. They will not implicate themselves in the killing. But the Obama administration plans to issue fines and take other actions against anyone who refuses to comply. If an employer tries to avoid complying by not providing health care coverage for employees, they will be subjected to very substantial monetary fines and ultimately bankrupted and mm-hmm. driven out of business. This mm-hmm. is an unprecedented attack, Jim, on the religious liberty and the rights of conscience of all Americans. It is really an outrage. The Catholic bishops who have said it are absolutely right. It is a pure declaration of war on the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. and not only on the Catholic Church, but on the evangelical community and people of faith across the spectrum.
In that regard, Dr. Dobson, one of the lawsuits that's been filed challenging this has been filed by an evangelical college here in Colorado, Colorado Christian University, because the implication of this mandate is because they provide some medical services to their students, they're required to, under this mandate, to give their students contraceptives.
Yeah,
even though they're not in marital relationships.
Martin, it's a Catholic, college, Belmont Abbey College down in Carolina, and an evangelical college, Colorado Christian, that have joined together in this. And I want to give a shout out here to the wonderful president of Colorado Christian College, Bill Armstrong, who had the courage to step up on this. There were a lot of people waiting to see who would be courageous enough to step forward, and Bill Armstrong and Colorado Christian College did.
Doctor, I would just like to jump in as the mother at the table here. There are people listening thinking that this is just an issue that affects attorneys and brilliant minds, of which I am surrounded by here. But my daughter graduated from the very college that you just named, Colorado Christian University. So this hits home to us. I mean, I literally could have had the funds that I was helping to pay for her college education go directly to helping provide abortifacients for the students on that campus. So we can no longer say this is something that's just happening way out there in the courts of Congress or something.
Well, let me expand it and ask our three guests. If this cultural development that we're seeing has the same implications for the evangelical church or the mainline Protestant church that it does for the Catholic church, this is not just a Catholic issue, is it?
Absolutely not. It certainly, any church that serves the common good or runs schools or provides health care or any other kind of services, they are affected by this. So this is one of those moments when we really have to stand together. And I think that the efforts, for example, of Catholics and evangelicals together, I know there's a statement that is in mm-hmm. production right now. I think it is so important that we speak with a united voice. And I'm very grateful. And no one should underestimate the resolve of the Catholic bishops to resist this.
Or our governmental opponents.
No.
I mean, they're resolved too, and they're determined. And unfortunately, they often have the courts on their side.
They do. It's true. The courts are often against us, but I think someone used already the word showdown. We're headed up mm-hmm. here for a showdown.
I looked at the clock a moment ago and was shocked because we had about 4 minutes left and it felt like we were just getting started, and we must continue to talk about this. Bishop Laurie, you have come all the way from Connecticut to be with us, and I'm not going to send you home without getting everything out of you that you've got to give us. And Professor George, it's been so good to have you on the phone again. I've worked with you so many times, and I've appreciated so much what you stand for. And, of course, Martin Nussbaum, our personal attorney, glad to have you here. Would you all just sit tight? And we're going to continue to do at least one more program and maybe two more. So with your blessing, I will do that. And thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for having us.
And, Doctor, this has been a pretty breathtaking edition of Family Talk today. Ryan, we actually need to sign off rather quickly right now.
We do, but there is more tomorrow, and especially some active steps we can all take to help stem this tide. In the meantime, we'll have plenty of information for you at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us for a CD for a friend or especially a pastor. Our number is 877-732-6825.
And this quick reminder, Family Talk is completely listener-supported. Now would be a wonderful time to hear from you. If you appreciate what you're hearing on these airwaves and would like to give to our work of helping families, you can donate when you're at drjamesdobson.org, or one last time, that phone number, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for listening, and we invite you to be with us tomorrow on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.